The Tom Woods Show, episode 990, bonus episode.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here with another bonus episode of The Tom Woods Show. Of course, as you know, on these bonus episodes, I'm creating them in addition to the normal 5 day a week series of episodes you get. Well, sometimes I want to cover a topic that's a little off the beaten path or something that not everybody's going to be interested in, doesn't have directly to do with libertarianism. Well, in this case, it does have something to do with libertarianism, but at the same time, not everybody is interested in libertarian gossip and infighting and back and forth and stuff like that. So if you are too pure for this episode, that is fine by me. You can just pass it right on by. But for those of you who, of course, won't publicly admit it, but secretly in your heart of hearts crave drama of this sort, well, your guilty pleasure is bonus episode number 990 right here, because this is an episode of the Jason Stapleton program, or at least it's a portion of an episode of the Jason Stapleton program. Jason's a friend, as you know. I have a great deal of respect for Jason. He's a good man. He's just a good man. I don't have to agree with him on everything. He doesn't agree with me on everything, but he's a good, decent person, and that's a pretty darn good start, and I'd say he's a mighty fine libertarian as well. And I was on his program to talk about this whole brouhaha involving Nicholas Sarwark, who is the chairman of the Libertarian National Committee, who has been, there was a little thing on Twitter where he started attacking me out of the blue. And then it turned into an attack on me because I wouldn't sign the anti-fascist petition. So I've covered that on previous episodes. But the idea was, well, because he won't condemn this particular thing, well, we could only suspect that he... Yeah, well, as I've pointed out before, I also didn't really have a whole lot to say about Barack Obama, who was a little bit more significant in American history than the 12 neo-Nazis we have in the country. And yet, I just found it boring to spend time on Obama. I felt like that's being covered by a whole lot of other people. So it's boring for me. I have nothing else to say. It would be redundant for me to cover Obama. So instead, during the Obama years, I went after the neocons. I said, these people are another kind of sinister that's being overlooked, and so I'm going to cover that while everybody else is talking about Obama. So, okay, I'm a little bit idiosyncratic. I look for things that I think are not being hit quite enough. Whereas I feel like the neo-Nazi threat in America, which is completely non-existent, is being, if anything, way over-covered. So I'm not going to beat my breast in public about, oh my goodness, the neo-Nazi threat, and maybe my failure to mention it has caught... What's this, stupid, right? Come on now. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's just what the world needs now. More people talking about neo-Nazis. Really. And it should be pretty clear based on, I don't know, everything I've ever said, and plus my episodes on fascism, how I feel about that. So no, I'm not going to sign some petition that basically the intent behind which is to imply that if you don't sign it, well, you know, we can only suspect that you must be... I just don't go for that. Anyway, my full reasoning for my refusal to sign this drama queen petition that was being sent around among libertarians can be found at the show notes page for this episode, tomwoods.com/990. I have a couple of things. One thing I wrote on Facebook, another that I wrote to my newsletter list. If you're not getting my email newsletter, I'm telling you, you just, you know, you're killing me here, because I send out a lot of important stuff that does not necessarily go out onto the show. So I covered all that, and I explained myself. I think it should be clear enough. So anyway, I went on with Jason, and we talked about it. So that's what I'm going to play for you now, is my conversation with Jason. And then since then, Sarwark then asked to be on the Jason Stapleton program, and Jason really hammered him hard on this question and said, look, I listen to the Tom Woods Show every day. I don't know what you're talking about here. There's no sympathy for any of the things you're insinuating he has sympathy for. And again, the thing was, well, he condemns communism. Why doesn't he condemn? Well, again, the same thing could be said. He condemns the neocons. Why doesn't he condemn Obama? Of course I condemn Obama. What? Duh. I mean, that's so obvious. What's the point of saying it? When I had Lou Rockwell on recently, at the end of the episode, we went through the principles of fascism, which are not really the principles of libertarianism, as it turns out. And just talked about, why would there be anybody who would think, well, this is a logical outgrowth of classical liberalism? It's really not. Turns out it's really not, and I don't need to sign some melodramatic petition to make that clear. That should be clear. Critics of libertarianism who hate us have been calling us Nazis for years and years and years. I'm not going to respond to that. That's dumb. I mean, if you're at that intellectual level, there ain't no reaching you. So anyway, Sarwark went on with Jason Stapleton apparently just the other day now, and Jason, who is very even keeled, just kept hitting him on this, kept hitting him, and I appreciate that, you know, he gave him a hard time, because to attack me out of the blue like that for ridiculous drama queen reasons, there's no real excuse for that. And then smearing me, repeatedly smearing me. My listeners know that I'm an okay guy, as it turns out, right? We talk about a lot of libertarian topics on this show, and a lot of them gave Sarwark a piece of their mind. I'm not encouraging you to go do that. I think we've made our point. And I don't think this guy is a particularly important person in the grand scheme of things, but when you engage in career-destroying smears, you got to expect some pushback. And that's what he got. He calls this playing the victim. Woods is playing the victim. Yeah, how about that? I get accused of basically being probably a Nazi sympathizer. And, you know, hey, and can you believe I flew off the handle about that? Huh? That Woods, what a victim he's playing. Well, yeah, I was a victim. I mean, you know, some people play the victim when they're just being babies, but the word victim has an actual meaning. Like when somebody commits a crime, there is actually a victim. Well, when somebody does something that's morally wrong, there is often a victim, and I was a victim of libel, basically. So anyway, this is the longest setup I think I've ever had, or at least one of the longest ones in the history of the show. Let's turn it over to the Jason Stapleton program right now, and I hope you enjoy it. And again, if you're not interested in any of this, you think Woods should just move past it, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But I had some people saying, but you know what, just for the record, why don't you throw this baby up there, make it a bonus episode so people don't want to listen to it, they don't have to. So off we go. Hope you enjoy it.
Tom, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Jason. Thanks.
Well, first of all, before we get into the meat of it, I just want to know, it's been a while since we talked last. What do you got going on? What's new?
Well, I am gearing up for episode 1,000 of the Tom Woods
Nice.
Show. Yeah, so I'm doing a special event in Orlando for free with some fun folks. So tomwoods.com/Orlando is where to register if you want to have a lot of fun and cost you nothing.
Yeah, excellent. Well, do you guys have another cruise? Are you and Murphy doing another cruise soon, too?
We are indeed. We have the Contra Cruise coming up in the middle of October.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, hey, it's not so bad being me.
You're keeping busy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do a ton of speaking engagements, which I think is really powerful, because there are so few people who can articulate the message of liberty. One of the things that I love about you, Tom, is that when I hear you speak, it's always funny. It's always entertaining. You really understand how to work a crowd and how to make it not, you're not beating against the pulpit preaching to people. You're telling stories and you're making it fun. Anyone who hasn't had a chance to hear you speak really should, because it's in my opinion, one of the best ways to move people towards the message of liberty.
That's very kind of you to say. I'm doing my best.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the recent stuff that's happened in the news, and more specifically stuff that's just going to appeal to libertarians a little bit on the inside baseball. But we've had a lot of white nationalist rallies that have come out, and inside of that, the Charlottesville one most prevalent. And inside of that, several people who call themselves or have called themselves libertarians who are now aligning themselves with the white power movement. Most notably, I think Chris Cantwell was someone who had been on your show several years ago. And you had someone who put up, and I don't even know who it was, who stuck up a page called Liberty Against Fascism, which I'm unclear why you would even need to say that, because it's a straight contradiction in terms just in the title. But there was a letter written saying we liberty followers don't believe in fascism and we reject it, and you should sign this letter saying that you agree with it. And you and a couple other people decided that you were not going to sign this, and that created a wee bit of controversy with Nicholas Sarwark, who heads up the Libertarian Party. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and kind of explain to me in your own words what happened?
Sure. And by the way, I would say there are also plenty of people from the Liberty Movement who wound up in the Bernie Sanders camp. I'm sure you've come across this in social media. They used to be for Ron Paul. Now they're for Bernie. And you think,
oh, yeah.
Well, how did we completely mess that up that you somehow got? So the fact that people go off the rails is unfortunate, but it's not like that's never happened before. It's happened in all directions. But when it comes to this whole I have to get on the internet and tell everybody how much I'm against the Nazis thing. I don't go for that. You know, I mean, first they want to make clear that I'm against slavery. I mean, what possible courage does it take to be against slavery in 2017? These people who are so at pains to let everybody know how opposed to slavery they are in 2017, these are the last people in the world who would have been against it in 1857 when it really counted, because these are people who crave attention and they want to be on the right side. They want to have all the fashionable opinions. Well, being anti-slavery was very unfashionable in those days, even in the North. So to that. But then fascism. So my view is I want an official. I won't be satisfied till the Libertarian Party officially comes out against cancer. When are we going to get a petition against cancer that we can all get behind? The whole thing is so ridiculous. It's an insult to ask libertarians, in effect, to sign a petition saying we're against fascism. Obviously, we're against fascism. And if you're dealing with people who are so vacant that they can't see that, then get away from those people. There's no helping those people. And those people have been out there for years claiming that libertarians are fascists because they don't know what libertarianism is. They don't know what fascism is. We're the polar opposite of fascism. So when I've talked to my kids who want to know, well, what is fascism? I explain it to them and they say, oh, okay. So in other words, the exact opposite of everything you teach. Yes, right. So therefore, I don't feel the need to degrade myself by beating my breast in public to alert everybody of where I stand. I'm about the most anti-fascist person you could possibly be. So no, I'm not doing this. Not doing it. And particularly if just because somebody tells me you better sign this thing, well, now you really are sure I'm not doing it.
Well, what do you think about the Libertarian Party's chair, Nicholas Sarwak, coming out on Twitter and attacking you, Jeff Deist, the Mises Institute in particular? I mean, first of all, let me phrase it this way, because this is a question I've always wanted to ask you. You have politically, you're more of an anarchist. You fall kind of into that camp. Are you a voter? Like, do you engage in the political process at all?
Well, no matter how I answer this, I'm going to upset somebody. But
there's whatever it is. It's just the truth.
And I'm just saying, because as you know, there are so many factions. Like there are anarchists who say you shouldn't vote. There are anarchists who say you should vote. There are whatever. Well, I you know, when I see somebody decent, I actually do vote, and I don't think there's any moral problem with voting. I think voting is perfectly fine, and I've argued this on my blog, and if people want to take it up with me, they should do a search for the word voting on my blog before they come after me. Read what I have to say about it. So I voted for Ron Paul, for example. I thought, here's this guy who at that time was in his 70s, traipsing across the country, exhausting himself. I mean, I know he doesn't sleep well in hotels, so he must have been extremely haggard, and he was doing this to get our message out, and all I have to do is go pull a lever for the guy? It just seemed wrong not to.
Right. Okay, well, that helps me, because for many years, people have told me that, oh, Tom doesn't vote, he doesn't engage in the political process, and so I guess your mission, how do you kind of see what you do and what your responsibility is? Is it an academic, or it seems at times that your angle is really more of an academic or an intellectual exercise rather than kind of an activist movement to create political change? And I may be misinterpreting it, and that's why I'm asking you. But how do you view it? I mean, are you viewing yourself as kind of a leader of a political movement? Because whether you like it or not, if you combine the audiences of me and you and say part of the problem with Dave Smith, you've got, you know, 100,000 listeners there, and you are a massive voice for the ideas that we all support. So how do you view yourself?
My view is I'm there to get people thinking in a libertarian way and give them the ammunition they're going to need to defend that position. Once they've got that knowledge, they can then take it and apply it to whatever they want. If they think that it's going to help them be more effective in a political campaign debating with people, that's fine with me. If they think writing books or starting a YouTube channel or making animated videos that promote our ideas is the best way for them to go, that's fine too. I'm giving them the raw data. I'm not saying now what you need to do is organize in your local precinct and do it. If people want to then do that, that's fine. I'm giving them the raw data. They can run with it the way they want.
So then what do you say to a guy like Sarwak, who's supposed to be heading up and trying to rally people to the libertarian cause and try and get more people involved in the political process, coming out and attacking specifically you? I mean, names you. I have the Twitter comments in front of me. In case this is what he said. He said, in case you're wondering why people have a problem with Jeff Deist and Thomas E. Woods and Bob Murphy, they stay silent on this liberty against fascism. And he says, this is the time for choosing. This isn't him. This is a reply to him. I can't hear their tortured apologies over the silence. What do you say to someone who comes out and attacks, of all people, the Mises Institute? This seems, number one, it seems counterproductive. And number two, it seems like he's just vying for controversy.
Yeah. I mean, if I look at his Twitter feed, I already know where he's coming from, and it's not a good place. But I've basically left him alone, because I don't pick fights with people for no reason. But if they attack me, then I respond. And first of all, he deserves congratulations for being the first libertarian ever to attack Bob Murphy, who's the co-host of my podcast, Contra Krugman. I've never seen anyone take offense at Bob Murphy, who's just out there fighting against Krugman. What's the problem with you? You're going to fight against Bob Murphy, the chairman of the Libertarian Party? So, of course, it goes to show I don't actually think his primary purpose is to build up the Libertarian Party. I think it's to broadcast to the establishment that, you know, we have some views that are out of the mainstream, but we're, you know, more or less we're on the same page with you guys. He tweeted out an article the other day by a left-wing writer on white privilege, why being a straight white male really gives you so many advantages that how could you possibly screw that up? So typical left-wing lecturing. And he tweeted that out. And so my response, see, what helps is he has no sense of humor. He has a sense of humor of a doorknob. So I responded by saying, somebody must have hacked into the Twitter account of the chairman of the Libertarian Party because he's tweeting out left-wing articles about white privilege. I mean, I'm not letting him get away with this sort of stuff. But of course, all you have to do is look at what Bob and I do 24 hours a day. You can look at Bob's site. You can look at TomWoods.com. It's an awful lot. I mean, I'm not always right, but I sure do work hard, and I sure do produce a lot, and I have a lot of converts to show for it. So for him to come after me proves to me he's not trying to welcome – he wants to purge the party.
Yeah, and the question I have and that I wanted to get your opinion on is why do you think that that's the case? Because I don't think it's even in question, Tom. The very idea that someone who has helped to build a modern understanding of what libertarianism is, I mean, the two names at the very top of that list are Tom Woods and Bob Murphy. So for him to it's not even a question. I haven't talked to anybody who thinks that that's anything other than laughable. But the question is then what is the objective in doing that? Is he trying to move the Libertarian Party out of libertarianism and into some form of lukewarm progressivism, or is it something different? Or is he just stupid?
I don't know that the guy's stupid. I don't think he's a moron. I don't think he has a genius IQ. I'll put it that way. But I think he strikes me as sort of a time serving sort of guy. People tell me he's competent as an administrator, but I have suspicions. I think it could be that maybe being chairman of the Libertarian Party is not the world's most exciting thing, and maybe he's positioning himself for something else. And you don't lose points in the Koch orbit by criticizing Tom Woods. Let's just put it that way. You do not lose points for that. They make note of that, put a little check mark next to the box. So it could be anything like that. It cannot be, well, we need to purge ourselves of these questionable people, because in the society at large, nobody even knows who I am. Nobody's ever heard of me. There's no need to do this. This was to signal to everybody else the kind of party he wants. He wants to stamp his imprint on the party, drive other people out, so that then it becomes almost impossible to get the thing back on the right track. I think it's a purge. It's a Stalinist-style purge that's taking place.
Well, and that's that leads me into my next set of questions, because if you one of the things that it appears he's trying to do is to get you guys to, you know, to it's evidence in absence, right? Or evidence of absence. It's proving a negative. So he's coming out and saying, well, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a white nationalist until you prove otherwise. And you can do so by signing this petition and this letter. And if you don't do that, well, then we're just going to make assumptions. And this is the same thing that progressives and, well, I mean, both sides do it, I guess, if I'm being honest. But my question to you is, what's the state of, in your opinion, of our movement and what we're doing? When you look across at the Libertarian Party, which is really the only political voice that we have, what do you see? And what are your ideas for how we create change? Because see, if you'd answer the question differently, I would have phrased this differently. Because if you are interested in kind of political process and you do want to try and see a change rather than just have an intellectual or academic, you know, argument about what's the best society, then what do you think needs to change?
Yeah, I was talking to Jeff Deist this morning, and we were basically agreed that right now libertarians are mostly, I think, talking to each other. And so the positioning is all just for our own consumption, to make clear, to try to shift the libertarian movement in particular ways, whether it's concern about racism, or whether it's warning about the right wing or the left wing, or whatever it is, whatever the tone or the character of the movement is going to be. That, I think, is what's shaping up before us. So what is to be done right now? I don't know, other than I want to try to build my side of this up as big as I can, because my side is the side that focuses on war in the empire, central banking, decentralization, the big, big, big issues. Yeah, if somebody wants to smoke pot, they shouldn't be arrested for that. Yep, I agree with that. But really, that's not going to get you in trouble with the New York Times. And you know what? Ann Coulter was right when she said libertarians are, well, she used a different word. We'll say pansies. Because what she said was, it's not that hard to go on TV and say you're for legalizing pot, because no one's really going to come after you for that. Jeff Sessions maybe, but otherwise really nobody's going to come after you. But to say I'm against anti-discrimination law, well, you would get in trouble for that. Therefore, not a word out of these people about that. So that's just not who I am. I don't want to just be the chic, acceptable to the New York Times crowd. If I'm acceptable to the New York Times, I'm a failure. And I think our movement's a failure.
Well, I think, and I think you're absolutely right. I talk a lot on my show about preaching to the choir, and I said I don't want that show to be this. We've got a rather large Facebook following now in our private group of, you know, I don't know, 8,000 people or so now. We got to be getting close to that. And my big thing is, listen, I hope that we got a ton of people in here who don't really understand libertarianism. I hope we have people who are listening to the show that are brand new to these ideas and who don't understand a lot of them, and that we can use this group as a way to help educate and help bring people around, rather than this being a place where we abuse each other internally. And we've worked really, really hard to try and create that in that group. But I kind of view what I'm doing with this show as a way to reach out to people who are unhappy with their choices, and to show them, listen, this is a different way to look at the world, and let me show you how this creates more wealth and opportunity and more prosperity for everyone if we just follow these simple principles. And my frustration has been that there is no movement, there's no brand, and maybe it's wrong for me to look at it this way, but unfortunately, we're a very communal people. We're very tribal, human beings are. And so there is this desire to assign a name to who you are and what you believe, and a flag to come under, and a particular ideology that you espouse. And I think it's difficult at this point, especially with stuff that like the chairman, Sarwak, is coming out to want to align yourself with libertarianism. It makes it very difficult. And I actually sent him a note on Facebook about this, because he was crying or complaining that a bunch of people who aren't in the Libertarian Party are complaining about the Libertarian Party. And I said, well, we want to join. I would love to be able to align myself with your ideology. The problem is every time I turn around, somebody in a position of leadership is saying something asinine that that makes me cringe.
And in fact, what could be more asinine than saying, well, none of you are in the party, so why are you complaining? Hello?
Right.
Maybe that's why they're not in the party. I mean, how hard is that to get?
It frustrates the life out of me. And so my biggest struggle, and I'll get, please share with me your thoughts on this. My biggest struggle has been, okay, how do I create that? How do I create that thing that says, instead of us all getting together as some nameless, faceless horde of people out there who all agree on the same thing, how do we create something that really aligns us together? And the only thing I can see from a political perspective is to fight against guys who are attacking, you know, the major voices of libertarianism today.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I need to emphasize that this is not just a matter of he's ribbing me a little bit for not signing a petition. This is outright character assassination. It's out of context. It's quotations from 5 years ago that he kind of implies were said today in completely different contexts. I mean, it's tactics that I myself would never use, even against my worst enemy. I would never do any of these things to anyone.
I want to clarify, because you're talking specifically about the Cantwell interview you did in 2014, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So for everybody who's listening, I listened to the episode. Tom did an interview with Chris Cantwell back in 2014. Tom did what he always does, which is to find common ground. And they pulled some quotes from that interview from 2014 and made it appear as though it was something, that interview that he had just given.
Yeah, like last week.
And so,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely despicable.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Because if I can just jump in, we were talking about, you know, libertarian infighting, very inside baseball stuff. But sometimes that's fun for me, and it's a guilty pleasure. And he had written a few pretty good articles. I mean, there's no denying they were pretty good articles. And so I said, because I really don't feel like launching civil wars against a million people. So I said, look, I'm glad you're doing this, because I don't want to have to do it, but I'm glad you're out there doing it, and I appreciate the work you're doing. Now, obviously, what I mean is I'm glad you wrote that article against this person, and this person, because I sure don't want to have to. Well, then they just float that around to make it sound like I said it this year, to make it sound like I'm saying, well, I'm glad you're a racist anti-Semite, because I sure can't do that publicly. But that is evil. There is no getting around. That is just evil. There's no possible excuse for that. He knows what he's doing. He knows that's fake. I mean, he doesn't have an IQ of 53. He knows that's fake. He knows it's – now, a lot of times people get caught doing something and they say, I was taken out of context. So anytime you hear somebody say they're taken out of context, you think, yeah, right, buddy, sure. But in this case, that clearly and obviously is out of context. It's meant to destroy me. That's not just meant to say, well, we have two factions in the Libertarian Party and may the best one win. No, I mean that – and to this moment, I would not do that to him. I mean, the worst thing I've said – and even I shouldn't have even said this, was in one of my episodes, I just said, look, make of this what you will. I'm not saying it's not an honorable profession, but it's just like a poetic gift from the universe to me that Sarwark, the head of the Libertarian Party, also happens to be a used car salesman. I mean, that's just a gift from the cosmos to me. I'm not exactly sure how to use it. I haven't even unwrapped it yet. Okay. All right. I get you. That was a little juvenile, but that doesn't destroy him. That doesn't make him toxic. That's what he's trying to do to me. And I've been getting emails from, I better not say which states, but let's say the chairman of libertarian parties in different states. I didn't solicit these emails. They're just writing to me saying, I'm ashamed of what he's doing to you, and it's outrageous. This guy hasn't done one millionth of what you've done.
I guarantee you I can already name them, because I'm having conversations with those same people. See, people think that I'm not engaged because I'm not part of the Libertarian Party, that I'm not deeply engaged with what's going on inside the LP. And in fact, I am. I have many people at very, very high levels in the LP that I communicate with on a regular basis. And there is just, I made a prediction at the end of this last election cycle that we would stop seeing growth out of the LP, and that people would stop coming, and that because of the decisions that were made prior to the last election. And I think that this type of stuff, the stuff that's going on right now, is only going to fuel that. And it makes me sad. It really does. I mean, all of the, I guess, as the world turns kind of stuff aside, this really frustrates me, because I believe in this message and I believe in these ideas. And it seems like the people who are in the best position to be advocating, who have the biggest pulpit right now, are doing everything that they can to purge and to distance themselves from the very best voices that we have.
I wonder if they really view it that way, though. I mean, I think they think our priorities are wrong. I think their priorities are much more, cultural leftist. You're not going to out transgender the left anyway. You can try all you like, but they're always, if you're going to say there's so much discrimination against transgenders, let's get rid of the government. No, people are going to say there's so much discrimination against transgenders. Why doesn't the government do something about that? So this is why they are, as Jeff says, Viagra for the state. Because they talk this way. They talk in leftist categories that straight white men have it really easy and all that. And that just leads into statist solutions. And they're not very good at talking people out of those, apparently.
So then what do you say? Let's kind of close it down this way then. What do you say to the guy who is looking at this entire situation and saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should run for political office. I don't know if I should start a podcast. I don't know how I want to contribute, but I know that for us to see movement, and rather than a more slow decline, because that's my frustration, is I don't want to slow the decline. I want to turn things back. I want to start cutting into government. I want to start cutting into taxation. I want to create a freer and more prosperous a place for us to live. And for the person who looks at the world that way, what do you say to that guy when he says, where am I supposed to plug in?
Well, I would note that not everybody can do this as a full-time job. It may have to be your avocation. It may have to be something in your spare time. Some people are lucky they can combine their career with what they really want to be doing, they're passionate about. So even if it is something like taxes, and you get into tax law, maybe you can help people evade as many taxes as possible. In other words, just if you can think of ways you can help as many individual people as come into contact with you as possible, that's a contribution. It doesn't have to be a world historic contribution, because only a handful of people in history ever make those. But you can improve the lives of specific people and decrease the amount of oppression in the world. There's a great YouTube channel, Freedom Tunes, that I love, that I actively support, because they make 3-minute hilarious animated videos that make our points. And I'm sorry to say, those 3-minute videos are going to do more to convert people than all my 45-minute videos put together. So that's somebody who's got a talent and then puts it to the service of what we're doing. There are lots of ways. Just think about what are you good at? And is there any way you could put that to good use? Maybe you're good at selling things. Maybe you can write really good sales copy. All right, well, I wouldn't necessarily recommend the LP at the moment, but there are libertarian outfits that could use that skill to raise money, for example. Many different things you could do. Or you could just earn a boatload of money and give it to libertarian groups that you trust.
All right, perfect, man. Basically, I think that what you're saying is move, take action, do something. Don't sit on the sidelines and complain that the world is the way it is. Actively move to change it where your talents and skills lie. Would that be fair?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you got a new website, tomsfreebooks.com. Tell me about that.
Yeah, tomsfreebooks.com takes you to where I've been releasing free ebooks. You can just download them and read them. So I've got a book called Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About Healthcare. I just love that title. As soon as I came out with that, one of my friends said, you could do a whole series. Your Facebook friends are wrong about X and Y.
Right, yeah.
Because your Facebook friends are terrible. Right? They're awful. the ones from high school who, you know, haven't been hanging around with you lately and so don't know the right opinions on everything. So I have a book called Bernie Sanders is Wrong, goes through his different ideas. So a lot of different ebooks that you can download and consume, get a lot of arguments to help build up your arsenal of arguments. So it's tomsfreebooks.com.
And they're excellent, by the way. I've read many of them, and everybody should go there, tomsfreebooks.com, and get yourself some knowledge. Learn a little bit about the issues, and then start working to actively change it. Well, man, Tom, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts and being so open. And I just want to tell you, man, that you have a massive group of people who support you and everything that you do, and just keep doing it, man, because we need more voices like you.
I appreciate that, Jason, and likewise.
All right, that was my appearance on the Jason Stapleton program. Check out Jason, who also does a Monday through Friday libertarian podcast over at jasonstapleton.com. I'm also linking to that at tomwoods.com/990. I'll see you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.